If you have a Bible, please open it at Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 35 to verse 48. Last week we considered the words of our Lord Jesus telling his disciples not to worry, how prone we are to worry. Often we're troubled about things that we don't need to worry about. And Jesus says, don't be troubled about food and clothing. The pagan nations, that's what they seek after, but you seek after the kingdom of God. And then he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And now with this passage, Jesus begins to speak about his return and the necessity to be ready for his return. So let's read verse 35. Jesus says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he returns from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant when his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and the female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. We thank God for the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, as we have opened your book and read your word, we pray that the book would truly live this morning, that you would speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus told a parable. We considered it a few weeks ago. And it reminded us that each one of us needs to be ready to meet God. In the parable, this man had everything, all the riches that he wanted, a big pension laid up. He thought he had many years in front of him. He could sit down, relax, and one day he hoped to enjoy everything. But in the parable, the words came, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. That man was not ready to die. That man was not ready to meet God. Now here, Jesus, remember his discourse began right at the beginning of chapter 12. He said an awful lot. Now, Jesus begins to speak in another way about being ready. That man was not ready. But Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's turned and he's looked and he's spoken to them. Verse 22, he's speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, you need to be ready. And he begins with an image. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And his Jewish hearers, Their minds may well have gone back to the Exodus when God's people had to be ready at a moment to leave Egypt and go out. They had to have shoes on their feet. They had to have their cloaks, their clothes tucked under, their waist girded. They had to have a staff ready in their hand. They needed to be flee at a moment's notice. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, that's how you're to live. You're to be ready for my return. Action stations all the time. You're to be looking. You're to be waiting. You're to be watching. And twice we have that word blessed. Blessed is the one who's ready. Verse 37 and verse 38. Blessed are those servants who are ready for the master to return. So I ask you, if you had 24 hours to live, would you be ready to meet God? What would need to change in your life? We don't know the hour when Jesus will return. No man knows. But let's just imagine for a moment that we knew that in 24 hours, Jesus Christ would return to this earth to wrap up history. Would you be ready? When churches talk about the second coming of the Lord, many churches like to draw charts. They like to draw diagrams. They like to talk all about the events that they think will happen and the order of what will happen. But when you read the Bible, it's not about charts. It's not about diagrams. It's not about all sorts of tiny details. It's about being ready for the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught so much about his second coming, and the writers in the New Testament taught so much. For example, in Mark chapter 13, verse 33, we have these words, and they're very similar to some of the words that we've just read. Jesus says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." Today I ask you, are you a sleeping Christian? Do you need to hear the words of God saying, "Arise, you who sleep"? Wake up, those of you in that position of deadness. May the light of Christ shine upon you. Have you a vibrant faith? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are the things of God more important than your own concerns? Are you ready? Are you watching for the coming of the Lord? Look at what Peter says. He says this in 2 Peter 3, verse 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Peter's saying, remember that this world is transient, it's passing away. One day, the elements will burn with fervent heat. This world is not permanent. All these things are going to be dissolved. If that's true, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Do you get tired of this world? Do you get tired of living in a sinful world, living in a sinful body? Do you long for that day when you'll be with God in glory, where there be no more sin, where there be perfect righteousness? Do you long for the place where there be no more suffering, no more earthquakes, no more famine, no more pain, no more death, no more cancer? Do you long for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells? Where are your eyes this morning? Well, we're looking at Luke chapter 12, and we're just going to look at verses 35 to 40. this morning, and we're going to ask three questions. First of all, what does it mean to be ready? Secondly, what are the rewards of being ready? And thirdly, what is the necessity of being ready? So first of all, what does it mean to be ready? Let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he returns from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. We have a picture here the Lord Jesus gives. And the picture is of a man who's gone for a wedding. And we assume it's his own. It may not have been, but let's for a moment assume it's his own wedding. Jewish custom was that the wedding was held at night. Wasn't a midday wedding like we have in the UK. And the custom was that there were 7 days of feasting. And the servants would often be at home. They'd be preparing everything. And the feasting would often go on into the night, maybe into the early hours. And the master would bring home his bride. And the servants who loved their master would have everything prepared, the room prepared, the house spotless, and they'd be at the door, ready to open the door to welcome the master and his bride. And Jesus says, blessed are those servants, verse 37, whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. How happy and blessed they will be. They'll be blessed to see him with his new bride. They'll be blessed to enjoy his company. They'll be honored by him. And we read, and we're going to consider this in a moment, that he will sit down with them and he will serve them. So you have this image of servants being ready. Let your waist be girded. That means they had these robes, these cloaks, these clothing, and they had to be tucked up. A state of action. They're prepared, doing all sorts, ready for the master return, and their lamps burning. And I'm sure for those of you who are Christians, that reminds you of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. And the wise ones had their lamps burning. Imagine if the master had come home and the place was in darkness. Nobody was ready to meet him and his bride. No lamps are burning. He has to go around the back and he has to knock, as it were, on the window. He has to shout. What a disgrace. How little his servants would have loved him. But if they're there, ready for the knock on the door, and they open to him immediately, what a signal that is, that they love their master. So what about you? The Bible talks a lot about loving his appearing. Are you looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now, that does not mean that we're to be like those disciples when Jesus ascended into heaven, who just stared up into the skies and had to be rebuked. Why are you looking up? It doesn't mean that we're to be spending all our days in our rooms at home, praying and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. We may be tired of this world, but there's so much good in this world, so much common grace, so many good things that we can do. And so we're to work, we're to please God, we can enjoy family, enjoy friendships. But ultimately, our eyes are not upon this world. We're looking to the coming of Christ. Do you love his appearing? Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we eagerly waiting for the coming of Christ? Now, what does it mean? That's what we're asking. To be ready for his coming. Yes, you get on with normal life, but you're not living for this world. You're living for the next. You're remembering that he will come again. And Jesus has given so much teaching that we've looked at already in this chapter, verses 4 to 7. He's told the people to not fear man, but rather fear God. If you're to be ready for the coming of Christ, it means that you're to live a life where you're not giving in to peer pressure, where you're not worried about what people think about you, where you're not so concerned about what family members or neighbors or others will say if you take a stand for the things of Christ. We're not so much concerned about the laws of a government if they're against the Bible and you break them. Because you fear God rather than you fear man. God who is able to cast body and soul in hell. Verses 8 to 11, Jesus has given much teaching already. He's talked about confessing him before men. Being ready is confessing the Lord Jesus, not denying him before others. Being ready, as we saw last week, is not being taken up with this world, but having a light hold on the things that we possess. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Naked we come into this world, naked we go out of this world. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we're to have our waists girded, action stations, servants. And the picture is of a servant unencumbered, freely able to move. His cloak, his robe is not tripping him up. He's tucked it in. Does that not remind you of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the race of life? We are to set aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, the sin that so easily entangles us, running the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you and I doing that? What's tripping you up? What's getting in the way of your Christian walk with the Lord? What's stopping you freely serving the Lord? Are there weights, and they may be legitimate things in life, but you need to put aside some hobby or something that's taking up too much time in your life and dominating, and it's becoming a lust, something that you enjoy too much. It may even be you've put family in too high a place in your life. You might think, well, how on earth can we put family in too high a place? Because surely God calls us to love our families, and of course he does, but never to make an idol of them. So there are things that we are to put aside, weights that we are to lay aside, but there's the sin as well that so easily entangles us. Is there a besetting sin? Is there a sin that you've allowed dominate your life for years and years and years? Put on the Lord Jesus and put off that sin. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. How are you to be ready? You're to say no to all that is displeasing to God, and you're to say yes to all that pleases him, looking for that blessed hope. So you and I need the power of God. We need the grace of God. We need the help of God. We need the great working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we're to live this sort of life that's ready, we're to pray, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, come to us. Help us to do that which we cannot do. We need your strength. Lord, help us to walk humbly with you. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless as children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in this world. If we're to be ready, we're to be people who stop complaining. Rather, we're to be people who are blameless, shining as lights, holding forth the word of life. That's what it means to be ready for his coming. But then secondly, what are the rewards? If we consider what it means, What are the rewards? Maybe you say, well, it's too much to think in terms of rewards. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve anything. And it's right we say we're unprofitable servants. But listen to this, Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that you will receive the reward of the inheritance? Are you looking forward to the reward that is yours in Christ? They're rewards of grace, they're rewards of his kindness, but they're given to all who faithfully serve him. Look at verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Blessed are they. Why? He will gird himself. He'll come into the position of a servant. He will sit down with them and eat, and he will come and serve them. The great preacher Spurgeon says that this is one of the most extraordinary verses in the whole of the New Testament. The fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in his glorified state, when he comes again, will come to sit amongst his people and serve them. He did that upon the earth. Luke chapter 22, 27. Jesus said, I am one among you who serves. One day we will sit down with our Savior, and people will come from the east and from the west. They'll come from every corner of this planet, every tribe and tongue, all those who love the Lord Jesus. And they will sit down with him at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he will serve them. Are you in that number? When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? When the trumpet of the Lord sounds, when the archangel's voice shouts, will you be there? Will you sit down at the wedding supper of the Lamb? John Blanchard, that great evangelist who lived for over 90 years in the UK and preached up and down the land, a week last Friday went home to glory. And he tells his story of how the Lord preserved him. He had three near-death encounters. Being brought up on the island of Guernsey, as a young lad, he fell into a huge barrel of water at a vinery where his father worked. And it just so happened that one of the workers passed by, saw him drowning in that barrel and plucked him out. And then as a young man, swimming at midnight off the cliffs of Guernsey, got into a fix, a storm blew up. And he thought he was a goner. He thought that was the end of it until a stronger swimmer came and rescued him. And then he tells of another situation where he was climbing upon along a small track on the cliffs of Guernsey. And he slipped and he fell. And he held onto a plant and he said it was the plant that saved his life. And he said that if on any of those three occasions he had died, he knew for him that it would be everlasting darkness. It would be the chains of death and hell forever and forever. But God preserved his life. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to living faith in Jesus. Jesus became his Lord and Master. And for many, many years, he proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. And now John Blanchard's in heaven. And when Jesus Christ comes again, he will come with all the saints in heaven. And his spirit will meet his body in the grave. And he will rise with Christ. And he will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We read here in verses 37 and 38 the word blessed. John Blanchard was blessed because he lived a life ready. And here in verse 38 it says, if the master should come in an unearthly hour, the second watch or the third watch of the day, depending on Roman timing or Jewish timing, that can mean a different hour. But it doesn't matter exactly what hour. You have the image in your mind, early hours of the morning. If he should come in the most unexpected, unusual hour, if the servant's ready, how blessed he will be. My friend, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Will you receive that blessing? There are rewards laid up for all those who've served the Lord Christ, all those who are forgiven, all those who've been transformed, all those who are the children of God. They will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Next week we'll consider the next passage, verse 42 and following, about being a good, wise steward. Are you somebody who has been entrusted with privileges and responsibilities? And are you fulfilling the privileges and responsibilities that have been given to you? There's a reward for all who trust in the Lord Jesus. We read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Here's the apostle encouraging the church in Thessalonica and saying, on that day, you'll receive reward. You're not children of darkness, you're children of light. The day will not overtake you. It will not surprise you. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. He says to that church in Thessalonica, encourage one another, comfort one another. You've trusted in Christ, you've followed him. Your relatives have died. They've died in the Lord. They've gone to be in the immediate presence of the Lord. Encourage one another. Christ is coming again. He's going to bring them with him. That day will not overtake us. So, my friend, there are tremendous rewards for all who wait for Christ's coming. But lastly, verses 39 and 40. Let's consider again the necessity of being ready. We've thought of what it means to be ready. We've thought a little of the reward. But lastly, what is the necessity? Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know, the thief will not tell you when he's coming, will he? I heard of a story of this young couple. Let's see if I can get the story right. It's half coming back to my mind. And this young couple had their car stolen from outside of their home. And obviously it was a great burden for them, a trouble to them. Their car had been stolen. But then a couple of nights later, the car was returned. And inside the car, there was a note. And the note said, here are two tickets to the theatre. Sorry for the inconvenience. Well, they thought, that's something. It doesn't make up really necessarily, but that's something. So what did they do? They went to the theatre. And when they came home, they discovered that the house had been broken into. How foolish we can be, can't we? We can live as if things are not going to happen. Christ will come. And the New Testament tells us that, of course, we are to read the signs. Earthquakes, famines, pestilences. We know that the man of sin will be raised up and he'll perform miracles. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There are many signs that are given to the church to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But the way in which Jesus taught and the way in which the apostles taught was this. Be ready that it could happen now. Be ready that he could come at any time. The thief will come at any hour of the day. That's an image that Jesus often uses. Verse 39, verse 40. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, of course, a true child of God will not miss the day. A true child of God will be taken up into the presence of God. But I believe in Jesus' teaching. As he's teaching his disciples and others that are listening on, he's asked them to examine themselves. Are you really true children of the living God? Will that day actually overtake you? Will it be as if a thief is coming to break in to destroy your life? There are many things that we look forward to in life. Children look forward to Father Christmas coming when they're young. And it's disappointing for children if, having stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning, they eventually fall asleep and they miss Father Christmas coming. Maybe you've had a disappointment when you've had known that a family member is returning. Maybe they've been on a long journey and they're coming in the middle of the night. And you've stayed up, you can't step any longer, and you've fallen asleep. It's difficult when you miss somebody who you're expecting. The joy of meeting a person after separation is a great joy. When I come out of hospital for 9 days, only 9 days, but the joy of meeting Jenny was so great. Can the day overtake a believer when Christ comes again? Can we miss that day? Or can it overtake us in a sense that it would be a day of destruction? No. All children of God are safe. All who are truly born again are safe. Yes, there may be, for some of us, loss in the sense that we haven't built with silver and gold, but we've built with hay and stubble, and a certain amount of loss, but it will be a great day of rejoicing as we see our Saviour. We cannot miss the day. But surely Jesus is saying to those who are listening to him, but as I'm calling you to be ready, I'm asking you to examine yourself. Are you really my children? Am I really your Lord? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read this. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us or other day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. When Christ comes again, what would it be like? We'd be found at the discotheque, boozing. Be found with your mates around your home watching a filthy film. We'd be found gossiping about your neighbour. When Christ comes again, we'd be found in a position of deceit. When Christ comes again, will it be serious-minded living for Christ? Or will it be a casual, happy-go-lucky lifestyle? For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night, these are the people of the night, but we are of the day. Therefore, let us be sober. We read this in Romans 13, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Paul is writing to Roman Christians. He says to them, it's high time to awake out of our sleep. We're one day nearer the coming of Christ. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. When Christ comes again, what if you're on your computer watching pornography? When Christ comes again, what if you're simmering and seething within, planning revenge? When Christ comes again, what if there's somebody that you haven't forgiven? Are you ready? Ephesians 5, verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Do you see that call? The gospel writers are saying, don't be asleep. Don't be in sin. Put on Christ. His light will shine upon you. He loves you. Lift up your head. Look to him. Too many churches are bothered about all the details of Christ's second coming, wanting to know if there's going to be a rapture of the church and then a 7-year period of tribulation where the church is not present, then all sorts of details, the Battle of Armageddon, and well, we study the Bible, we look into these things, but you know the thrust of Scripture is this: are you ready? Revelation 16:19. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. May it be that when Christ comes again, he will say, blessed. You've watched. You've kept your garments clean. They're washed in the precious blood of Christ. And though he comes as a thief in the night, you are ready for him. May that be so. Amen.